I'm delighted to have in the studio with me now, Damien Whiteley. He's an Australian opera singer. Good afternoon, Damien. How are you?
Hi, Dave. Very pleased to be here.
Great to have you on with us. And now, you live in Malaga, is that right?
Yeah, the last 5 years I've been based in Malaga. But as a musician, you're always a bit of a gypsy, so I'm travelling the world wherever they'll pay me to sing.
So. Now, you're Australian.
Exactly.
Now, I've got to say, you didn't come in here like, you know, what's your favourite colour, blue?
I don't sound like a coming off home and away. No, but I mean, if you start articulating properly, he says, you lose half your Australian accent already. And so as an opera singer, that's why, you know, I've been training for years to improve my speech, a bit like My Fair Lady. But I'm born in the country in New South Wales.
Yeah.
5 hours west of Sydney. As one person said to me once, oh, 5 hours west of Sydney? I said, you're on the west coast. I said, no, I'm on the east coast.
You're still 5 hours.
It's a big country. And so this country boy became an opera singer. It's a bit bizarre, but someone's got to do it.
So. Yeah. So normally, I mean, this time of year, you'd be on the beach this time of year normally.
Yeah, I'm just actually back from Australia 2 weeks ago. Yeah. I spent all of October there doing some concerts and even singing the Irish national anthem for the President of Ireland. Learning it in Gaelic in 1 week. It was a bit of a challenge.
That's fantastic. So now you can put that on your CV. Yeah.
I'm not sure if I will, though, because we didn't get a sound check. So it all went a bit Acapulco.
Now, were you into this kind of music when you were young? Was it something your family got you into? Or?
I studied piano and violin as a kid. Yeah. I wanted to study the saxophone because it seemed more cool, but they wouldn't let me. And then, of course, in Australia, particularly in New South Wales, we have this Eisteddfod tradition, the thing from Wales of, you know, yeah, little musical competitions every year. And so as every little darling kid when they're five gets up in costume and sings a nursery rhyme. So that's how it all sort of started.
So you, from a very early age, you were singing around the house.
And it must have been okay because some woman came up after I'd won one year and offered my mother I could have elocution lessons and singing lessons for free. So that's how it all sort of got kicked off. So.
Yeah, brilliant. And so were you listening to regular pop music when you were younger, or was it something that you you kind of like? Opera mad.
Yeah, I mean, I've got very eclectic tastes. Yeah. I listen to a whole lots of stuff.
So come with shockers then, because obviously you're an opera singer, but shocked me by something I'm not expecting that you'd be into.
Well, I'm Australian. I'm into AC/DC, Akadaka, mate.
I'm so glad you said that.
Unlike our Prime Minister.
I thought he was going to say Jason Donovan, but obviously.
No. I'm still my piano students, before I left Australia, the little kids used to scream to me as I came across the playground, "Ah, it's Jason Donovan." So I had sort of mushroom cut blonde hair then.
Well, you could put any dream will do in your repertoire, maybe.
Yeah, thanks for that.
Just anytime you need any help, let me know. And so, obviously, you know, at some point you're looking at what you're going to do as a career in your life, and you know, most people think going into music is a difficult route to take because it's, you know, did your dad say make sure you get a trade behind you or anything like that?
Well, my dad was a farmer. Mm. He wanted to be a lawyer, but his father said, no, you're going to be on the land. So that was what he did. So he basically encouraged us to do what we liked. I was umming and ahhing between being a vet or architecture or music, and he just said to me when I finished the HSC, as we have in Australia, that's the final exams, said, well, what are you closer to the top in and what do you think you're likely to be close to the top in, and choose that one. And so I had some success.
I always find it interesting to see where people could have gone in their lives.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it would have been great to have a singing vet, wouldn't it? You know, your dog's dead.
No. I'd have to sing it in a minor key, though.
Of course, yes. Yeah, a bit more melodramatic. Yeah, that's the so where do you start then down this career? How do you start making money? Or have you made any money?
it's a very good question. When I was at university and I was studying music, but at that point I was madly practicing the piano with crazy dreams of being some kind of concert pianist, and I soon reality set in and realised that was a pretty competitive field, and I did a lot of drama. So I eventually realised that I had a voice other than a little boy voice from singing as a kid. When I was 15, the voice sort of just hit Yes. Bargain basement, as they said. And I thought, oh, well, that's it. I can't sing anymore because I can't reach the top notes. But anyway, at university, basically said, okay, I want to do this because I did a play with music where and people thought it was pretty amazing. Piano teacher came along and said, well, yes, good. I don't think you can study piano anymore. You should go and have singing lessons. And so suddenly it was a dream to combine theatre with music.
Yeah.
But I certainly didn't make a decision to do it for the money.
Right.
Sometimes the pay is great, but then it's a long time between drinks. So,
I was told to have singing lessons, but it wasn't the same context, I think, that you've had. So obviously, yeah, I mean, you earn quite well in certain parts, but then that has to...
Yeah, I did. I sang at a private function in Switzerland a few years ago where it was a wedding.
Yeah.
I did the music in the church, and the person that sang at the reception was Jennifer Rush.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah. So
power
you can imagine
of love, was it? Yeah.
The Power of Love, one hit wonder, but what a big hit.
Yeah, and still making money from it.
Absolutely, yeah. And so you can imagine that you get pretty well paid for a gig like that, but then you might not have anything for the next 3 months. You're studying music, as you say, resting between gigs. So it's up and down.
And I should imagine you have to really look after your voice. So you would.
It's like being a professional sportsman. You need to train. You can have a day or two's rest. But it's use it or lose it.
Are you on edge with anybody that sneezes anywhere in your vicinity? Are you like, you know...
No, because I'm sort of... if you keep your body in good nick, you're not going to pick up every germ that's flying around.
Again, that's where I'm going wrong.
The last two times I've been sick, I've been sick twice in the last 3 years, was drinking red wine late at night. That was my fault. So, you know, and you wake up the next morning and the germs got you. But if you keep in good nick,
you work out and eat well.
And as a professional, particularly professional opera singer, it's very important that you make it to the performance nights because that's when you get paid. So we all have our tricks of how to attack the lurgy if it gets a hold of you.
And being an opera singer, you've got to be good, haven't you? You know, certain singers can get away with not being so good, but being an opera singer, you've got to be able to nail it. You can't make it unless you...
Yeah, I mean, you've got to have a certain amount of projection in the voice to get across the orchestra. I mean, we're singing acoustically. I've got to concentrate now. I'm never going to be able to say that word again. And, you know, for instance, when I've been singing quite a lot recently in Bangkok, there's a fantastic opera company there, Opera Siam, and the orchestra's huge, and it's a 3,000-seat theatre, and... To come across the footlights, you've really got to have it to a certain level. I mean, we all have our good and bad days, but you can't hide behind the mic.
So you said you did this one-man show. What sort of songs are you covering in that show?
In the one-man show? Oh, yeah. The one-man show is about an Italian fellow who worked with Mozart. So we're talking back 18th century, a guy called Lorenzo da Ponte. The show's called Mozart and Me.
Yes.
And this guy's life was so ridiculous. You couldn't make up this kind of story. So he was born in the Jewish ghetto in Venice.
So you act it out as well?
I act it out. Wow. It's a literally one-man show. It's me playing the piano, singing, dancing, rapping.
What?
We do a rap. The rap that Mozart never wrote.
I'm going to say, you don't really put Mozart with rap.
He ends up in Vegas. We have a sort of a Liberace number. So we go from Mozart and Salieri, that's the guy from the movie Amadeus, all these people that this Lorenzo da Ponte worked with, up to the point that, because he lived such a long life, we have a sort of conceit that he never died. He just went to the place where all old artists go. That's Las Vegas.
Told Vegas for a few years. Fantastic. Yeah. So how do people book you then? I mean, have you got an agency that you use and people book you through there? Or
Or personal contacts as well. There's quite a lot of... actually, the first time I sang in Bangkok, that came through Facebook, would you believe it?
Yeah.
And if you go and do a good job the first time, you normally get invited back.
And so you're very big in Bangkok, apparently. You're famous.
Yes, I am. Yeah. Il primo basso assoluto di Bangkok.
So you're going to sing a song for us now?
Yeah, I hope the mic can cope with it. But
how do you do your warm-ups? And
I warmed up in the shower this morning. I have a new exercise from my singing teacher who's based in London. It's called the duck exercise. It's
well, can you teach
quacking?
Well, Wendy's here as well, so I'm going to bring Wendy in and Linda there. So, Linda, you didn't know you were going to be on the radio, but no. I wonder, could you just teach us three a singing exercise, and then we can practice it?
I can't sing.
Wendy?
There's I do not have a voice.
There's no such word as can't on this show.
Trust me.
And I'm pretty useless as well.
Well, you're there to make me look good, right? So,
okay, Dave. Well, the most important thing about singing is airflow, because
sing from your diaphragm.
The little
diaphragm.
Well, actually, you can't control your diaphragm.
Yeah, ruining your livelihood. I could walk over diaphragm.
He's never going to be able to speak again after talking to you.
Oh God! Yeah, you know, I'm an Australian. It's difficult enough for us to speak English as it is. So, it's all about airflow, because the little they're called vocal folds, or the vocal cords that you normally call them in your throat, they come together because airflow. So the first exercise to get you doing that is what's called a lip trill.
Okay, are you ready for your lip trill?
I'm not even going to try.
Everybody at home, get ready for this.
Here comes a lip trill.
Whatever you do, don't stand near anybody because they're going to get sprayed. It's a,
people doing it in cars all over the country.
You put your lips together, and a bit like when you do to a baby, as in.
All right, okay, these mics.
They've got a protector in front of them.
I can't do it. So that's to get your lips moving now.
It gets the lips vibrating.
Well, did it quite well. Well done, Linda.
I think she's done this before.
Dark horse there. She's very famous in Switzerland.
Just as long as you know, she's very famous in Bangkok.
Thank you.
I can't believe I said that.
we'll edit it out later. Nobody will know.
Basically, you put a bit of tone behind it, and this is just going to get you a nice evenness of air going past your vocal cords. So.
I can't do it.
Well, see, that's the thing is. I think you need to have lessons with Linda later.
Linda, don't come in here and show me up, all right? Let's do something else that's even better.
To get the chords coming together really well, we're going to do what's called a duck exercise. Okay. It's literally going quack, 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 quack.
Quack, 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 quack.
That's much more successful,
We did one because I used to be in a choir, I'll have you know, Wendy.
Well, I was as a child, but I can't sing now.
We used to have to go, nga, nga, nga.
Yeah. It's not a bad idea. Yeah. The problem with that is the root of your tongue can get a bit tight.
That's probably where I've gone wrong all these years. Yeah. Right, okay, that's enough of us. You're going to sing a song for us, aren't you?
Yeah, we're going to do a song, as you said, from Acapulco. It's a cappella. We don't have a piano here in the studio, so I'm not going to be on the goanna, as they say in Australia. But this is a good piece to sing a cappella. If you remember when the Sydney Opera House was being built, which took quite a long time because it was like all public buildings, it costs a hell of a lot more than what they said it was going to at the beginning. The great American bass, Paul Robeson, had a visit to Australia, and he went to visit the site of the Opera House, obviously, being a fabulous singer, and he sang this song in the not yet finished things.
Okay, Damien, it's all yours.
A bit of Old Man River. I hope the mic doesn't explode. There's an old man called the Mississippi. That's the old man that I'd like to be. What does he care if the world's got troubles? What does he care if the land ain't free? Old Man River, that Old Man River, he must know something, but don't say nothing. He just keeps rolling, he keeps on rolling along. He don't plant taters, he don't plant cotton, and then that plants 'em is soon forgotten. But Old Man River, he just keeps rolling along. You and me, we sweat and strain, body all aching and racked with pain. Tote that barge, lift that bale, gets a little drunk, and you lands in jail. I get weary and sick of trying. I'm tired of living, but scared of dying. But Old Man River, he just keeps rolling along.
Brilliant. Well done.
Yay!
Fantastic. That was absolutely brilliant. And you could feel the richness in your voice there, couldn't you, Wendy? Just... Wow.
That was fabulous. I got chills at the back of my head standing on it.
So I want to learn how to do it.
That's very good. Very nice. Very good. I think those exercises worked before.
But mind you, were about a centimetre from the mic and I was standing back across
you
the room.
About 5 miles away. Yeah, brilliant. Fantastic.
We didn't tell you. We were standing out in the other room.
No, just...
You probably wish I were.
Just awesome stuff. Brilliant. So you're off to Bangkok tomorrow, is that right?
Thursday. I'm flying up to Barcelona first to work with the singer that I work with there, because, like I said, I play the goanna as well, and then head off to Bangkok to start rehearsals for Puccini's La Boheme.
Oh, wow. So
my favourite opera.
Absolutely, yeah.
It's one of mine, isn't it? No, I don't. But so, if anybody wants to find anything else about you, have you got an online presence at Twitter? Have you got any music on Apple Music or anything like that?
Facebook page and website and...
Can we get your music online?
And YouTube, of course.
All right, yeah.
YouTube is a pretty fantastic...
So put in Damien Whiteley,
yep.
It'll come up with you on there.
Yeah, indeed. Lovely.
Brilliant. Well, we've had a treat, haven't we?
We have. We have.
Really spoiled.
I think we need him to come back in and do a Christmas number, maybe Christmas...
But he's not here.
Oh, yeah.
He's not here.
We'll do a direct connection to Bangkok.
Thank you, Damien.
Just roasting on an open fire.
That's it. Therefore, yeah. Jack Frost nipping right.
Oh,
let's leave it. Thank you very much, Damien. Take care. Before we get into trouble.